Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. Today my guest is Jean Doe Massaero, an Alexander Technique teacher in Montpellier, France. This is the 12th in our series of podcasts that are largely devoted to the influence of François Delsarte on F. Matthias Alexander and the Alexander Technique. We've taken a little detour in the last podcast and in this one in the sense that we're talking mainly about Delsarte himself. In our previous podcast, we kind of went through his teaching career, and we're going to talk today about what Jean Doe refers to as the hidden or undiscovered Delsarte ideas. And without further ado, welcome Jean Doe.
Hello.
Hello. And tell us what these hidden things are, and that apparently very few people know about. Is that correct?
I think very few people know about, and I've not seen any practice, in fact, devised through these principles. And I think we Alexander teacher could really benefit from these principles. And my take on this and my work has been to create procedures, to create forms of experiment that help us to, in fact, create something that that follows the principle of Delsarte.
Mm-hmm.
What is hidden is, well, if you wanted to make a summary, you would say that Delsarte was very, very interested in mechanisms. And he is very interested in what he called vocabularies.
Mm-hmm.
Vocabularies of movement, for example, an action coding system. So you could use, instruction sentences in English in order to describe very, very, very precise movements of the different parts of the organism. And you could use language also in order to, in fact, coordinate these different movements. This is the start of the conscious guidance and control of the mechanism of the torso.
Mm-hmm.
That I teach nowadays, how, in fact, we can make and build a bridge between language and action so that language will direct precisely actions, and we can also consciously control the result of action to see if the result of action conform with the plan that has been initially represented.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really Delsarte's idea. So I will just give you a quote from him in 1858. So he's talking about the gestural training, and he uses a very interesting analogy. He says the art of the architect consists not only to know the number and the nature of the element of construction, but to model these forms in such a way that they are dovetailing construct a structure in all aspects similar to the plan initially represented.
When I hear that, I think of architectural drawings.
Well, yes, you think you're thinking about conscious guidance and conscious control.
Right. I mean, an architect has an idea for a building, a design, and he creates drawings and maybe even some instructions about what kind of materials to use, that sort of thing. How to put them together. So he's giving a complete plan that if he were to die tomorrow, someone else could take and create the building for him, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So you can replace the word plan by conception.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Remember that Alexander insists that the first thing in all movements, when you want to change a habit, is the conception. So here, you translate that by plan, and you know that with language, you can use a language of a spatial language, visuospatial language, that can, in fact, depict very, very clearly exactly what you want to see in the mirror. So you have to understand that you are the architect. Your pupil is going to be an architect. That was the Delsarte plan. He would not mold the student to a form with his hands. He would give the means to the student to direct himself, his own movements, and to check in the mirror if the plan that was initially represented was there or not. And if it was not, all the better, because there the student will reason how to change his guidance in order to produce a different output that was more, that was closer and in all aspects similar to the plan.
The key there would be using visual feedback from mirrors, right?
Exactly.
And I think, of course, Alexander, we know, used mirrors. But the key, it seems like it's not just mirrors, but it's mirrors showing you from unfamiliar angles. It's pretty helpful, too.
Yes, exactly.
So in that, from what you've just said, it's not so much that Delsarte was an architect of a building or analogous to that. It's more like the analogy is more to an architect who's training other architects to make buildings.
That's exactly the point.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this would be a teacher of architects.
Yes.
A professor at an architectural school is going to turn out architects who can then create the designs that could be translated into buildings.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. So that was Delsarte's. Would you say, in a way, that was Delsarte's mission?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's written in that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just a brief aside. Maybe it's not an aside. Do you think, to some extent, Alexander took that on?
Well, I'm sure he took that on in these first maybe 10 years of teaching. Mm-hmm. It was clear that conscious guidance and control are words that have a meaning. You know, mm-hmm. there is no conscious guidance when you mold somebody to your own will, mm-hmm. not to his will himself, you know. Mm-hmm. So the conscious guidance can only be that you project a conception in your own mind, that you create it in your own mind, and then you see in the mirror if you're in fact performing it or not, if you are projecting it or not. And then you understand the sentence by Alexander where he says that conscious guidance and control is not a plane to be reached. It's something that is in the building all the time. You can always compare your production to the different movements of the part of your torso and check in the mirror to see where you are. And so, in that way, you understand why Alexander always referred to reasoning as a way to improve conscious guidance, because you reason. When you see that your construction is not according to plan, then you can reason how to change your own guidance. So that's why I think there is a misunderstanding of one great sentence. It's not conscious guidance and control of the body that Delsarte was talking about. It's conscious guidance and control of the mind. Mm-hmm. You remember Delsarte was a devoted Christian, and his idea is that the soul has to be perfected. That the soul, for example, the memory has to be so there. In the Haydn Delsarte, there was a big thing on memory. Mm-hmm. His students were learning by heart the instruction. They were copying all the time, and they were in fact repeating all the time. So memory has been, well, it's quite strange that in the Alexander technique, for example, there is very, very little effort in the school, in the training school, to train the student's memory. But Alexander is very clear that the process of projecting direction is directly united with memory, as in Delsarte training. And also the understanding. So that's the second part of the Eden Delsarte, the understanding. So there is a very, very important work that Delsarte did about how to create signification, how to create understanding out of a sentence, out of a written sentence.
So,
and that,
okay, so another way, or sort of maybe just a summary of what you've just said, is Delsarte was really interested in what could be called spiritual development.
Yes.
And he was, his focus, or one of his focuses, was how to use your physical mechanism to produce that spiritual development, to enhance the soul, I guess, as he would say, right?
Yes, exactly. Because in fact, for him, you could judge the tree by its fruits. Mm-hmm. So you could judge the soul by the movements of the different parts of the body.
So, you know, earlier we talked about Delsarte coming up with this gestural system in order to help actors and singers display emotions more effectively, to be more effective at what they were doing. And he wasn't really all that interested in the beneficial effects of that in their everyday lives. It sounds a little like we could make the same kind of statement here. Yes, you're going to use your body to improve your spirit, to develop your soul. And that's the real aim. And yeah, you might end up being able to move more easily and all the rest of it that Alexander teachers like to talk about today. But that wasn't really the most important thing for him.
It's a byproduct. You're right.
It's
a, absolutely.
It's kind of a step towards a bigger thing.
Yes. And in the... I want to talk about the understanding and the conception. Delsarte was very, very keen on deconstructing mechanism, seeing how mechanism were working. So there are laws that have not been really explored. It's I call the principle of what you call the static, the fact that we are a stacking system. We've got bones that can, in fact, transmit the forces, the weight, and the reaction from the floor. And so Delsarte studied really in depth what could be a real system of equilibrium, how to relate the different parts together, how to have enough weight on both sides of the point of contact with the floor. He was a biomechanician way in advance of his time. His writing are testimony to that. And he studied not only the stacking system that many Alexander teachers have tried to represent in their writings, but also what we call the antagonistic action result, which is that in certain organization, new properties of the muscular system appear. Nowadays, we know that it's about the elastic response of the what we call lengthening contraction that produces elastic spring mechanism in the body. Mm-hmm. And Delsarte was well aware of it, which is astonishing nowadays.
Could we say, to get back to the architecture analogy for a moment, that it might be like if an architect is designing a cathedral that is designed to have a spiritual role in the world, right? You know, designed to be uplifting and inspire people and all that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
That's what he's doing, and in order to do that, he's got to get down in the weeds of structure.
Yes.
He can't just have a little sketch of a cathedral and hand it to someone and say, "I'd like you to make that." He has to understand basically mechanical engineering ideas, right?
Yes.
Material science ideas. I mean, he has to really get into the weeds in order to produce this wonderful structure. And his interest is in the wonderful structure, and the other stuff is in service to that.
Exactly. Yes.
But of course, someone could come along, as I think a lot of people today might be inclined to, and say, "That's great. I'm really more interested in the less important part of that, the structure part."
Yes, but they would make a mistake, because you have to understand that in order to change your conception of movement, you have to use your soul, your mind, and will in a different way. You have to learn to combine movement. You have to learn what Alexander called concerted activity, not one thing after the other. But you have to understand the simultaneity of movements in order for the torso to, in fact, present the experience that we are talking about on your own, not done by someone else, but done by yourself. So it's only by, a joint training of the mind and the will that you can reach where Alexander certainly found his own salvation, or his own creation of his own of his own balance, and where Delsarte himself, well, transformed every single habit of body and mind that he had. So you can't. It's impossible to separate really the means from the end here. So it's really conscious guidance and control of the mind. Without that, if you're just interested in improving your balance, well, I'm afraid it will not work.
Right, but that mind training that you're talking about, and I do think most Alexander teachers today would agree that the Alexander technique is a mental, kind of a mental training, right? I think that would be pretty well agreed upon. But you could still say, hey, I want to do the mental training, and I know it's going to involve my conscious mind and all the rest of it, but I have no spiritual interest in anything. I ultimately would like to be able to think more clearly and move more clearly, more effectively.
Oh, yes, but there is a misunderstanding here. Because of the inclination of Delsarte toward the mystical, we tend to think that soul is only the to improve your soul is a mystical or is only in the realm of faith and things like that, but not at all. Replace soul by cognition. And you will get to, well, we start with a low cognition, so all our conceptions are based on what we feel. We are devoted to the feeling we have, and we believe in the feeling we have, but suddenly enters Delsarte, and you realize that all this is not trustworthy. This is not helping you to create a structure that responds to your wish.
Alexander and come on. Same thing. And exactly. I think if you read, I mean, I haven't read Alexander's books in a while, but certainly there's a lot in there about, our sort of almost like the evolution of man getting to a higher plane and all that sort of stuff, right?
Yes, I would replace man by mind, evolution of mind.
Right.
We reach an intellectual state where we should be able to direct our organism, and we still are directed by our feelings, by our direct cognition of thing, which is completely untrustworthy and doesn't give the architect the means to create something out of habit. So Alexander is quite clearly saying that we are at a point where there is an evolution of mind, of the conscious directive agent.
Does this relate, do you think, to the famous, legendary question that Alexander was asked at some point, which was, does there come a point when you no longer need to direct? And Alexander is reported to have said yes, but when you get to that point, you won't want to not direct. Something
in fact,
like that.
I think the answer was a bit different. But to my knowledge, it was, I know I could, but I dare not.
Dare not. He used that word, dare not.
Yes.
Now, why do you think he used the word dare not? Does that relate to back to Delsarte's thinking
yes,
on
it
this?
Does.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It sounds like it, because it means that when you have found a correct compass to direct your travel, mm-hmm. why would you want to trust what you feel? You dare not. It's not fear. Yes, it's a reasoning answer.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I?
Right. Well, of course, someone could get to the point where everything seemed to be going perfectly without any conscious guidance, but that's always a slightly precarious situation. Some event might occur that would knock that off a bit, right?
Oh yeah.
So you might have a great intuitive sense of direction, but it doesn't mean you're not going to take your GPS system with you.
Yes.
You know,
you have to understand that when we are talking about construction of a structure, we are talking about a system that is so complex mm-hmm. that in no way can we really imagine, depending on sensory guidance in order to,
right.
in fact, overcome every single situation. Remember that Alexander is quite clear about this. He says that the instinct or the sensory system is well appropriate when nothing changes
right.
for centuries.
Right.
Then you, for example, if you could put your hands on a pupil for decades,
mm-hmm.
Let's say 50 years,
mm-hmm.
every single day, you might expect that in a very controlled situation, for example, in sit to stand and stand to sit, the agent, which is would not be a real agent to me, a real subject, but somebody that is under your influence, would stand and sit in the correct manner.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't got 50 years. We haven't got a pupil all day. That is why it is necessary to teach and not to drill. So
mm-hmm.
Alexander
mm-hmm.
was very clear about that. And at the same time, he decided one day to make a lot of money by doing hands-on. That's my idea.
Yeah, and I think we want to get to that in our little summary of Alexander and Delsarte. But in terms of the hidden Delsarte, we're kind of at the end of our time. Is this a good place to end this conversation?
Yes, just by opening it to something else that is coming,
coming shortly.
Shortly. Yeah. It's the fact that Delsarte has got a deconstruction tool in order to get to the signification of complex sentences. That has not been explored, I think, by anyone on the Delsartean front, and even less on the Alexander community.
Right.
But I think it's very necessary nowadays, because I look everywhere and I see very, very little discussion about Alexander's words. And
right.
I think that is so because we haven't got, at the moment, a tool that will give us a compass in order to, understand what his sentences are saying and, more importantly, what they are not saying.
Right. And that's what that's the project you're going to undertake.
Yes.
It's going to be a series, I believe, of videos, right? YouTube videos.
Yes, exactly.
And you're going to take a sentence or two and spend a half an hour on them.
Yes,
and
that's a new meeting between Alexander and Delsarte, because
absolutely.
Alexander never talked about this.
Right.
It's only in Delsarte that I found it. And yes, Delsarte is going to bring some more light.
You're going to use Delsarte's methodology to bring out the Delsarte influence on Alexander.
But not only.
Among other things.
Yes, among other things. Just
right.
first of all, to create a tool. I think it's very important to talk about means means whereby. Mm-hmm. What are the means whereby one can understand Alexander's writings? I think it's very, very important nowadays. So yes, that's the idea. Well, if sometimes I can bring the influence of Dessart forward, I will not be shy. I will certainly do it. But it's not the big project. The big project is to use the means whereby Dessart has given us in order to, in fact, create an understanding, a new understanding, a very, very precise understanding of the text of Alexander. But, well, I think that it's more than enough. We don't need to bring Dessart more into that.
Okay, perfect. Let's end this podcast here. My guest today has been Jean Doe, Massaero, an Alexander Technique teacher in Montpellier, France. Jean Doe, thank you.
Well, thank you very much.